Hi, everyone. This is Gary for another Campfire Conversation. We all are on the phone with Keith Medley. You may know Keith. He is a Base Camp member. Keith has a fascinating story, as actually all of us have a fascinating story. And every story is unique, so that's what's going to be fascinating, is hearing another man's unique story in his journey with God, the journey as he goes after the desires of his heart and God's training of him and all of those things. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight with Keith. Thanks for doing this. And by the way, I love your CD. I've got it on my iPod. I love the way you play, and I love your type of music you play. It's great to listen to.
Well, great. I'm glad of that.
Let me play just a little bit of one of your songs to give our listeners an idea of what your guitar and your music sounds like. I want you all to know that you can hear more of Keith's music on his website, which is keithmedleymusic.com. That's KEITHMEDLEY music.com. And, of course, you can also hear and purchase his music on iTunes as well. So, Keith, let's get back into our conversation. I'm so fascinated that you had to create two things. You had to create the 27-string guitar that you have, and then you had to create the music with it. I mean, you couldn't even start to create the music, in a sense, as far as literally having it written down and played until you created the instrument. What was that like doing that progression of creation for you? How did you approach that?
When I'm playing instrumental on the 6th string, I'm hearing more than what I'm able to play on the 6th string. If there were more notes or more fingers or more something, you know, that I could get to, you know, I had been frustrated for the most part on being able, not being able to read, not being able to write music, still not, and not being able to express what's on the inside. It's sort of being just a music illiterate, so to speak. I kind of put my X as a signature. So to open up the possibilities for just a musical expansion, it was like, well, I just need more strings. And so on the website, on the blog, I actually got a picture of the first drawing in 1978 of a multi-string instrument. It's very crude. There's like pizza grease on it, I think. There's some kind of stuff on it. I don't know. You know, but I drew this thing out. And it, you know, it's got like four necks, and it's got, you know, a harp on the top bout and all that. And of course, you know, back in the 70s, anything went. So I'm drawing this out. This is going to answer my question, but it didn't, because you can only play one neck at a time. And, you know, making a very long journey short here, when I started to take serious, you know, this whole project, you know, over the years, it started to develop. You know, I had heard about and seen multi-instruments before, and I saw this one guy playing named Michael Hedges back in like 1980, 81. And he had like five or six strings on top of his regular 6th string. So I thought, well, that's it. I'll do something like that. I'm not going to so much make it a bass like what this was. I'm just going to make it an extension of the guitar on either side. Well, that ought to do it. Well, once I kind of got that into my head, when I would think about this music, I could actually see how I could play it if I had it in my hands. And because if I can't hear it in my head and if I can't play it in my head, then I can't play it out. So really what drove the design on this stuff was the excitement of being able to expand on some of the music that I was hearing. So that really is what drove the design.
So it was getting the music out that was in your heart and soul. That was the core of why you designed and built this 27-string guitar.
Right. I wasn't trying to like build something I could mass produce and sell for $1 trillion and get rich and all that. Some things you just don't do for money.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't something that showed up one day and then the next day it was there. I mean, this has been a 30-some-odd year journey of realization. And it's one of those things that never left. I'm almost 53. The things that have come into my life that, you know, an idea or a thought over the years, some of that stuff has gone by the wayside. I mean, I'm not going to learn Greek. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to sail around the world. I'm not going to do all that stuff that used to be on my list. You know, but the things that remain are the things that I needed to take a look at. You know, the things that have stood the test of time are the things that I needed to stop and go, okay, you know, I can't talk myself out of the desire. It's there. So then I have to figure out how to approach that desire. I have to figure out how to, what's within my power, what's within my convenience. And what I mean by convenience is that, you know, there are four of the people that live in this house, you know, that need certain parts of me. They need a father, they need a husband. And,
Now I just have to tell you, I'm so fascinated with all that you have done to be able to do what you do, playing that guitar with, as you talked about earlier, before we hit the record button, your fingernails. They had to grow,
right.
You had to have them longer than you did with your six string. Now with your vision, I mean, you had to do a lot to be able to do, to offer to the world what you're offering.
Oh, man, nothing comes easy.
Yep.
I mean, there's, it really, it just doesn't, raising kids don't come easy. Being married doesn't come easy. Driving to work doesn't come easy. You know, doing anything worthwhile doesn't come easy. Or everybody would be doing it, I guess, but no, it's just whatever you do, there's a series of problems to solve, and they're not all solvable until you get to it. And that was another thing with this thing, is that I had built it, I had drawn it, I had gone through it in my head, but I knew enough to know that just because I can anticipate a few things, it doesn't mean if there's not going to be some point of change, or some point of compromise, or some point of redirection that's going to happen, because I didn't have it all figured out yet. And at any point in this, it was going to, you know, you run the risk of it becoming more than you're able to cope with, or able to figure out, or, you know, or a bigger problem than you're able to solve. You know, then you can get discouraged at that point and give up, I guess. But there were problems with this that, you know, that took some serious contemplation and some time to figure out. And even after I dove into those particular aspects and those particular problems, I wasn't guaranteed that there was going to be a success. And it was scary / exciting. It was how is this going to turn out? I didn't worry. I wasn't even, when I was building it, I wasn't even worrying about if I was going to play it or not. All I was trying to do is get the daggum thing built.
Yeah.
You know, or even less than that, I was trying to get the next bit of the process of this thing done. You know, there were times where I had actually cluttered my head with trying to think too far down the road. There was no way that I had the heart or the mind or the ability to figure it out. I mean, I wasn't going to find the answer until I brought it back to the now, and I would have to do that. There have been a lot of obstacles, but I was confident at the front end that if I could ever get it built, I could get a tune out of it. I wasn't sure exactly what or how it was going to go. That was the direction this thing took.
That's just so amazing. Okay, so if this is true, which I believe it is, and that's why I say this and I wrote this, is that our calling is the particular effect of our life that God has created us to have, the effect that we give to the world around us. What would you say is your calling or your effect?
To find that inspiration. Now, the inspiration is the intersection of God in your life for creation. That inspiration that puts you in touch, and I want to say supernaturally, okay? I'm just going to go ahead and say it, because it's all supernatural. It's all natural, but it's all supernatural. I've had people tell me, you know, it made me break out my guitar, but then I have other people says it made me break out my dance shoes. You know, it made me break out and open up my shop again and start building things that I used to love to build. I mean, I'm hearing stuff from all over the place where this is affecting in the right way. You know, of course, there are some people going, man, I I've had some player friends of mine that I've known for years, and now they've broke out their acoustic guitars and wanting to get off into the acoustic thing and explore that thing about themselves, you know, which is great. But it's just not limited to that. And nothing that any of us should do, and any of us do, should be limited. We shouldn't present ourselves so exclusive in our profession and in our calling to where it doesn't produce calling in the next person. And we're given certain people that are brought into our lives, into our world, and they're there for a reason. You know, and they're there for, you know, and it's there to influence and to impart.
Yeah. So here's what I want to do. I want to summarize just a few things that I wrote down that you said that really impacted me. And so first, I'm really struck by this idea where you said, you know, I had to create this 27-string guitar because there was more in me. There was more music in me that I could play with six strings. And I am so hit by the profound nature of that, that there are things that we have to create in order for that which is in our heart to come out. We can't simply deal with what we have. We have to actually create something to let that come out. I think that's just true for all of us. And let me jump to a last statement right away. And that is, like I said, I see this effect of your life. I've heard this through everything you've said, this idea of the helping people kind of find the intersection of inspiration and their heart and God and to bring that out. I can just see how music and playing guitar is a part of you, but it's not the biggest part of you. This is even bigger than that. I love when you said there are always problems to solve, to accomplish the desire that's on your heart. It's so true. I mean, we all know this, and most of us on this line, we're older men, and we know that, you know, we don't become as disheartened when we run across some problem anymore because we didn't expect it.
Right.
Now we just know the problems are out there, and they're... we'll take them on because of what's on the other side of them, this thing that God's put in our heart to do. And so we just can assume it. I just think that was really profound, the way you expressed it and the way your life has expressed that. I love the way you say, you know, I just didn't have to figure it all out yet at this point. It's the way you live your life. It's, you can kind of see something, but you don't have to figure it out yet. And then you even alluded to this idea that I believe you said something like, I figured that if I could build it, then I could probably play a note with it. I could play something with it. And what I'm struck by is, you know, if we would just build that thing that's kind of on our heart, in our own personal artistry, with the belief that when I build this thing, when I create it, I believe there's going to be music that's going to come from it. I think that's what drives us on. That was so good.
Well, it contributes.
Yeah.
You know, we can call it music or we can call it contribution.
Yeah,
and this is what we're doing. We're leaving momentum behind. And this is what we're trying to do.
Keith, thank you. This has been a great call, and I think we'd all like to do this again with you sometime and go
sure.
through a little bit more of your story, and we would just enjoy. So thank you for doing this.